are now listening to The After Deck.
What's up, guys? It's Kate Chastain, and you are listening to After Deck. On this week's After Deck, we have a very special guest. Not only is she a Below Deck fan, but she is a versatile, multi-talented star that moves seamlessly from stage to screen. She's known for a number of roles across musicals and TV shows, including Wicked, The West Wing, Glee, and The Good Wife. In addition to lighting up the stage with her megawatt personality and wowing with her incredible vocal talent, she's also hilarious and possibly the nicest human I've ever met. That's right. This week on After Deck, I'm talking to Kristen Chenoweth. How did this all happen, you might ask? Trust me, I asked myself the same thing. Well, the story is that about a year ago, I was checking my social media and noticed that Kristen Chenoweth not only started following me, but had sent me a tweet saying she was enjoying Below Deck. And that was enough to like make my week. I immediately screenshot the text and sent it to my mom because I was just so proud that such an established, talented person would take the time to write 140 characters or less to little old me. So then fast forward to this year, and I've got the podcast, and I was talking to my producer about the guests we should have on the season, and I just threw it out there. I said, should we ask Kristen Chenoweth? She's definitely a fan of the show. At the time, I was just swinging for the fences. I didn't really think it would ever come to fruition, but lo and behold, not too long after, I got an email from my producer back saying, Kristen's people answered, she's in, it's happening. I've never been so starstruck in my life, which is weird because I'm used to having celebrities and VIPs and tycoons as guests on yachts. But with the podcast, I couldn't go to my go-to response when I was feeling nervous, which is, can I get you something to drink? I mean, I would have gotten her a drink, but I just thought it would have been a little awkward if I shot that out when I was feeling nervous. So luckily, Kristen was so kind and humorous that my nerves settled along the way, which I hope you'll hear. What's really funny is when I was up in New York to interview her, I also brought a volunteer from Genesis Boutique. Her name's Lindsay. She just graduated from law school and passed the bar. So while she's looking for whatever firm she's going to join, she spends a couple days a week helping out at Genesis Boutique. So I thought, oh, great. Come with me to New York City. We'll have some fun. It's kind of like a, you know, thank you bonding time for all the time she's helped out. Then around Monday at 5, I realized, hey, maybe Lindsay would like to go to Watch What Happens Live and be in the audience. I was so distracted with prepping for KC Squared, which is what I like to call Kristen Chenoweth and Kate Chastain. It's a shout out to AC Squared, which I went to in Tampa last month. So all of my prep for KC Squared, I didn't even think about getting us tickets for Watch What Happens Live. So I emailed my Bravo PR person, said, hey, last minute, I know. Do you guys have any extra audience tickets for tonight? And they didn't. And I was a little disappointed, but it turns out that was the best thing ever because the reason Kristen Chenoweth was in New York City that night was because she was a guest on Watch What Happens Live after she was on my podcast. Can you imagine how mortifying that would have been? I hadn't checked what guests were on Watch What Happens Live that night when I asked for tickets. I didn't know it was Kristen Chenoweth. It would have been so embarrassing if after I interviewed her for After Deck, then an hour later, I was in the audience like a creeper. I will find you. Hi. Hi. Remember me? I found you. I'm here. I was just around you an hour ago. I would have looked like a psychopath. So that worked out for the best. Obviously, I didn't go to Watch What Happens Live after the podcast, but luckily, Watch What Happens Live is now its own podcast, which you can listen to every episode on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. So all that being said, I hope you guys really enjoy listening to me talk to Kristen as much as I did, though I doubt it, because it will definitely remain one of the top experiences in the highlight reel of my life. It was that great. So everybody, today on After Deck, we have a very, very special guest. I am so excited to introduce to you guys Miss Kristen Chenoweth. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Are you kidding?
For having me over, actually.
You're in my home and I wouldn't have it any other way. I adore you.
Thank
you're
you.
In my home every night anyways.
Oh, that's so flattering. You love Below Deck, huh?
I love Below Deck, but let's not get it twisted.
You love all of Bravo.
Yes, but I love Kate Chastain.
Oh, thank you. Why do you think you like Below Deck particularly?
I've thought about the reason why, and I think I figured it out why. In theater and or film or television, you know, there's a cast, and we are sort of usually together, and sometimes in small quarters, and it has to be a family with all the dysfunctions and loveliness that goes on.
Sure.
And I feel like that you guys have to do what we have to do a lot, especially in the theater, in the Broadway theater, where we're together, and you know what, we have to have each other's backs. And when somebody doesn't have your back, you even still have their back because you're on this.
The show must go on.
That's right.
Yeah. I admit I'm actually acting many times when I go smile at charter guests. So I can see what you're saying there.
I don't know how you do it.
Well,
in some cases,
it's, you know, experience, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't really do it that often because I have a bitchy resting face. So maybe I should do it a little more.
Which apparently. I didn't know was a real thing until you said, no, it's actually a real thing.
It is a real thing.
I disagree with you. I don't think you have. I think what you have is professionalism. And I think that you are. I think everybody has their own style. And that's your style is professionalism. So no, I agree, disagree.
Thank you. Bitchy resting face or concentrated working face. You know, tomato, tomato.
I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, I like that one better. My mom probably likes that one better too.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah. So Kristen and I have a lot in common. First of all, we have the same initials, which I would like to name this episode KC Squared.
Please.
A little shout out to Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, who I went and saw in Tampa. They have a great banter. They've got their show AC Squared.
Yes.
So we're just for tonight, this is KC Squared.
Well, I think on social media, and I've already told her she has to come see me in concert in Tampa with Bocelli, and especially your mom, bring her. That's our name now.
KC Squared.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It has a nice ring to it. I love it.
Probably going to write the single next week.
Yeah. You're that quick and good. I'm sure you could. Remix. But also, not only do we have the same initials, you recently adopted a dog, as did I. Tell me about your story of adopting your dog, Thunder.
I was just telling you, you know, before we started this, that I had always had Maltese. And before that, growing up, I had a breed called Keyshound, is what we had growing up in Oklahoma. And I was not as knowledgeable as I would like to be about the adoption, which is interesting, being an adopted person. So when my dog, Madeline Kahn Chenoweth, passed away a year ago, August, I thought I'd never get over it. And I'm a big prayer person. I prayed, and I was like, if there's a dog that ever makes itself known to me when the time is right, please let her show or him show their self. And I went into this place called Spot Rescue on La Cienega in Los Angeles, which is actually now no longer there. They've moved to another location. But I found this dog. I went in, and I kind of did a little bit like, I'm allergic, and I have to travel a lot, and the dog can't be big, and I can't have allergies. And the lady was like, well, it's a rescue, so you know, you don't get to put in your special order. But she was right. And then she goes, but I do have one that I've just rescued 3 days ago, and it's going to be hypoallergenic, and I can't promise how big it'll get. And out came from behind the desk this dog, and that I've now named Thunder, after the Oklahoma City Thunder basketball team, which is you know, our home state. We're very proud of our basketball. And she has definitely, you know, I travel a lot. I'm not married. And my companion is my dog. And so she's changed my life for the better. And I encourage all people out there who think that they can't get over a loss of a pet to give it a little time and then maybe go visit a rescue and see if anything. Because I think your dog picks you, too.
I agree completely.
Is that what happened with you?
I was looking for a dog about a year ago. Looking at shelters all around, wherever I could drive to. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, I still just couldn't get a dog. I would call, did you see the Shih Tzu? Can I come see it? Adopted yesterday. And then finally, I went to go find a dog at Halo Animal Rescue Shelter mm-hmm. in Florida. And my MapQuest led me to the wrong destination. The address was right, everything. It said to turn left here. I did. I was in a manufactured home neighborhood. And so I called them, like, did you guys move? There's no sign. They're like, ma'am, you are somewhere wrong. And so then 2 days, I went to the Halo Animal Rescue, and I didn't like that dog because I had like a trachea problem and I wasn't ready for that kind of responsibility. 2 days later, I looked on Craigslist and it said little mixed breed. And I said, text me your address next door to where my map had taken me on accident 2 days before.
So it was this close.
I wanted the dog. Was there. I was literally, when I was driving around looking for my dog, my car or the universe, whatever, led me there. I was actually in the right spot, even though I thought I was wrong at the moment, which I think is more of a metaphor for life. When you end up feeling lost or something, like you've taken a wrong turn, you don't know it then, but eventually you'll realize that you were there for a reason and it had to happen that way.
See, this is another reason why I get it. I appreciate who you are because you get it.
You get it. You get it too. And I think once people get it, then life becomes a lot more fun.
It sure does.
Right? I mean,
you can release all the other bull.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a, it's fun.
It's a bigger.
To see the miracles in everyday life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Preach.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So you, speaking of amen, you got your start singing in church.
I did.
Yes. So did you know from a young age that you wanted to be an entertainer? Because I personally feel like if the singing thing hadn't worked out, you could have been a very successful comedian.
What?
I think you're equally as funny as musically talented.
That is so nice.
But did you always yearn to be on a stage or sing, or how did that happen?
I did. You know, I would sing in church and I would think, it's not just about like liking the applause. It's not that. It's the feeling that I got. I guess I would equate it to how I know a lot of people who have addictions in their life, which is a very serious, I can't believe I'm relating it to it, but my high is the process of music, the process of telling a story, talking about what I've learned, like what you just told me about your dog and how you found your dog. That's the kind of thing at this point in my life that I'm finding interesting and that I want to share, and I get to do that a lot in concert, to be honest with you. It's probably my favorite. I love all the different types of work I do, but because of getting to start at such a young age in a welcoming community, in a place that went, you know, we accept you and love you. And it was faith-based, obviously, and I still have a lot of strong faith, though I've, I guess, I don't want to say the word evolved, but I've changed some of my views. I'm very conservative, but I have a lot of liberal beliefs, too. I was probably, and this is not me being politically correct at all, I'm probably as much down the middle on so many things, and I thank God that I grew up the way I grew up, and I thank God that I've experienced a little bit of life, and nobody wants to hear from me any toughness or there's been tough times, but the truth is we're human, and no matter who you are, where you've been, you got some shit in your life. I don't care. You can hide it and cover it up, whatever, but it's there. It's happened. So I'm thankful for my faith, and I'm also thankful for my opportunity to get to share it through music and through art. If I had to do math, or I mean, I would not know how to make money. I wouldn't know how to live. So I'm glad that my gifts match what I love. Does that make sense? Totally. Not everybody's does.
It's unfortunate. I think that a lot of people also don't realize their gifts, because when something is a gift, it comes as easily as breathing and your laughter, and they don't necessarily recognize that it's a talent because they're like, what, everybody can't do this? So I think a lot of people, you know, their talents and their personal legend in life, like as the alchemist would say, you know, what they're meant to do, they don't realize it.
They don't know their purpose yet.
They need to get a little more conceited and be like, I'm really good at this. That's the problem, I think. They're too humble.
They need, is it, thinking, resting face?
Yeah, they need conceited resting face is what they need. I would say so. So what is your, do you have a favorite song that you've performed, written? Like, what's your most proud creation?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that too big of a question?
No, it's an awesome question. Okay. It's so hard for me because it constantly changes.
Yep.
I've lately, the past couple years, been singing a little bit more lower in my register, because what happens when you get a little older, your voice starts to change. So I used to just be known for these high operatic, and I love doing that, but it's allowed me to now sing in a little bit different register. And there's a song that Don Henley wrote that I've been doing that means a lot to me. It's called The Heart of the Matter, and it's been trying to get down to the heart of matter, even if it's all about forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore, I have to forgive. And forgiveness is hard, especially with those we love. and I've battled with that because I'm like, you hurt me. Like, people that I don't know or cut me off in traffic, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But people that I love that have hurt or I've been through an experience with that hurt, it's like, you got to forgive so you can be forgiven. And that's a message that feels right now, the past few years, that song has been the one.
Oh, cathartic. Nice.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we would talk about those subjects, and I'm glad that we did out of the gate.
Me too. But see, that's we're just talking, which is what I knew would happen.
Yes. I'm so happy.
Me too.
We have to talk about Below Deck a little bit.
I want to.
Oh,
I'm waiting to hear.
Okay. What was a remarkable or memorable episode for you where you're like, oh, I like this show? Or something that surprised you?
The first season, you came on the second season.
Mm-hmm.
The second season, I started watching, and then I went back and watched the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it was the camaraderie, and even like if you have a moment or argue with somebody, how you have to pull it together. I like that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I like the different personalities. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the camera catches people in such a beautiful way, and then also the camera can catch us. And you guys are so exposed, but it does make us go, oh no, like, oh, I've had those moments in my own life. You know, I've seen like, you know, people have affairs and mess around and then lie about it. And I'm thinking, oh, we all know. But what it does is make me understand that it's life. But one of the episodes that really has stuck with me, and I just don't know why it is. It was the episode with the fire. And I think maybe because I am so aware of how accidents and how certainly injury and accidents have changed my life in the past, but just how truly dangerous, how truly important it is when you're in that situation, how y'all work together to trust the people. And I did not think the chef on that season had y'all's backs. I certainly didn't like the way he spoke to you in particular. And for me as a woman, you being a strong woman, there's been other strong women that I've appreciated on different reality shows, but you being a strong woman in a small quarter and having to also be over women and say, I have to teach you and, you know, I actually don't want you to fail. But that I thought was... I don't know why that struck me so hard.
Well, it was frightening, honestly. And I have no sense of smell, so I can't smell the smoke. So it was extra scary because thank goodness other people were on the boat. If it was just me, I mean, it could have been way worse. It could have gone out of control.
Thank God you weren't by yourself with him.
Oh, that would never. I would have done Rocky, jump off the boat.
And then I would have understood.
I would have gone to the desert island by myself and like made fire out of sticks, right?
Yes. Also, I like your episode about having to make the perfect mojito. And I do like the episode of you making the rocket ship.
Yes.
I will say the guest charter Dean, when it hurt me when he was like telling you about your resting bitch face. And then you were working so hard to make it. And then to see y'all come together again. I liked that.
I think that, you know, the blanket fold really brought us together.
For sure. And you said you kind of knew he could take it and would get it.
I thought he would like it,
for
sure.
Well, you're right. Hello.
Just saying.
That's part of your job, is to feel out the people.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure Dean would like it if I felt him out specifically, but maybe. I think he preferred Kelly for that. But
right?
If you were a charter guest on Below Deck, what would your preference sheet look like?
It would be an incline bed because I have an inner ear problem where I have to sleep on an incline, which sucks. So you would have to raise the bed.
Do you get seasick, motion sickness easily?
I have Meniere's disease. Meniere's.
I just assume, I don't know what that is.
It's inner ear vertigo.
Oh my goodness.
And so.
Do you spend much time on boats ever? Can you?
I miss it terribly. When I do, I have to be in a very good, on even ground. I take a thing called antivert. I also take a diuretic that helps with the fluid in my ear, but I have to sleep on an incline. If we were in like how you guys have had, like this is the rockiest one we've had, I would be in trouble.
Oh my.
But I would need an incline bed.
Okay.
I don't eat anything from the sea.
Allergies, dislike?
Distaste, texture, and smell.
Okay, so you have an acute sense of smell. One thing we do not have in common. That's all right. It's good. It's dynamic.
Well, that's right. We can bond over it. I can be like, Kate, there's a fire.
Well, that's fine. Oh, that's perfect. You're like my safety. So what would be on it? Steaks?
Steaks.
How do you like your steak
cooked?
Chicken
fingers. Medium well.
Okay.
Chicken fingers, hamburgers, salads, soups, pizza. I'm like that girl.
How do you like your pizza?
I like it either margarita, but I like it kind of thin, or pepperoni. I'm not fancy.
Classic.
Yeah, I'm not. The thing is, I would be your dream come true. What I wouldn't be able to handle is like going off that slide.
I've never done that.
I know. You jumped off as Gumby.
Yeah.
You didn't go down the slide.
I
jumped.
Did that?
Your hair.
Yes.
I know. Girl.
I know. Do you know how long it would take me to dry my hair? I couldn't go to the charter guest.
The blowout.
With wet hair.
No.
That'd be disrespectful.
Well, and how?
Even though season one, Adrian would wear wet hair. And I was like, she needs to be replaced.
I didn't approve.
Well, you can't have wet hair. So the Gumby suit, that was for flotation and survival, but also keeps cute. A good blow dry. It did.
Yeah. It did, and your hair always looks amazing. I'm like, she does her hair, because then they show you like doing it.
Yeah.
You do your own hair, and it looks so good.
I'll admit the season I thought it looked pretty cute in some scenes, because I never saw the back. Because it's texture from not being washed that often, which they tell you if you go to a hair salon. Like
dry hairspray?
Yeah, exactly. But I do that the natural way just by being so busy that I don't have time to wash my hair that often.
Right.
And then I just would put bobby pins in until it felt secure. Like, I don't know what's happening back there.
You kind of threw it up.
It's like bird's nest.
You know how much money I've paid to have that look? And there you are walking around in your cute little pencil skirt with a very crisp shirt that fit.
Starch. Which is like hairspray for laundry. I use Aquanet. I do.
Do I look like I'm judging?
No. Hello? I feel like you would appreciate it.
I do.
I hear it smells good.
It's the best.
And it holds. I mean, why recreate the wheel? Aquanet. Still works.
Amen.
Speaking of hairspray, what current projects are you working on right now?
Okay, well, I'm finishing up a year-long tour of an album that I released this time last year called The Art of Elegance, which is Standards record from Hoagie Carmichael, Cole Porter, Mercer, all the greats, Gershwin, and I needed to do that finally in my career, and it's probably been my favorite one. It did, for an artist like me, it did pretty good. So I'm wrapping that up. I'm getting ready to do Madison Square Garden. As a guest artist with Andrea Bocelli on his concert. I have just sold a pilot, which is just one episode of a show. We'll see, then you know if you get picked up, of a show called The Real Fairy Godmother for ABC. And I'm thinking about what that next album is going to be. And again, we're talking about how we change and evolve and grow, especially as women and what means. And so I'm sort of living down below, not below deck, but in my lower register, in my voice a little bit more. So I think it'll probably be more of a tribute to women who have inspired me.
That sounds beautiful.
Thank you.
During your creative process, do you go away? Like to Montana? Or do you...
I'm dying to go there. I've been dying to go there. It's weird you say that.
I mean, just to like get away for like an artist retreat.
No, and you know what? I'm listening to what you're saying to me now, because I've been feeling in my gut that I need to do that more so that I can open up that creative mind and become, you have to get bored so that you can then write and then find out what's really inspiring you. What's been happening is I've been being so inspired on the road, and the audience is telling me what they like, and I'm listening and change it up all the time. I never do the same show twice, but I've been wanting to go to Montana. I've sung there before, but I've never given myself chunks of time to go away and have an artist retreat. One of the places I do enjoy to go to when I have 3 or 4 days, which is a whopping time off for me, is Cabo. And I like just the tiny little cabana that I get, and just getting the service and the time away and just being there. But I would like to go to an artist retreat, actually, and I've been thinking about Montana. And just being. But just being. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like about Below Deck, to be honest with you, and wish I could go on just a charter, is I'm accustomed to being with family. So, no, do we always get along? No. But I think, too, I would feel safe, because it would just be on its own. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't feel like a diva if I said, I don't want can I have pizza? You know, I just would feel okay. That was probably my dog, Thunder.
Aww.
By the way, she makes all kinds of, she gets in trouble all the time.
Is she a little bit naughty?
Well, I don't know. Don't look too closely at the corners when you leave my apartment. She's chewed them all up.
Oh, baby.
Yeah,
baby. Oh, baby.
What's your dog's name again?
Halo.
That's right. Yeah. See, I knew this. I knew this.
Yeah, I think it's a really fitting name. It's cute. It's and then if I get a second dog, I mean, will it be like horns?
When you're on charter, who watches? Who watches?
So my dad and his wife, they have had border collies and Labradors their whole life. There's doggy doors on every door. And it's really, it's like their first grandchild, grand fur baby.
Yeah.
And it's like summer camp for him. He's like, woohoo, I get to go to the place with the other dogs and the doggy doors. Yay. It's a win-win for everyone.
Okay, then you should get another one.
I don't know that they would think it was so fun to watch two dogs.
Well, so, there is one difference. There's more.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Is Halo an only child?
Halo's an only child, but I don't want him to be like an only child behaving, and I think he's a little lonely, but I'm just not there yet, Halo.
I get it. Kate.
Yeah. Would you get a second dog?
If I didn't have to travel so much. Mm-hmm. She travels with me on the plane. And wow. Then can you imagine two?
Well, first I thought they would play with each other, maybe.
I think.
I don't know. I think Halo would be highly insulted and probably Thunder at first. Like, who is this new dog and when are they leaving?
You know they could be.
I mean, that's how I felt when my siblings were born.
Okay, so we get it.
But I love them.
Of course.
But you know, at first. It's an adjustment. So on After Deck, every week, I choose a yachty of the week and a dinghy of the week. Mm-hmm. Pretty self-explanatory. A dinghy is actually the smaller version of our tender boat. But also, you know, there's an double entendre there. So for this season of Below Deck, who would you choose as your dinghy in a lighthearted way?
In a lighthearted way.
Yeah.
Of course.
Bless their heart.
And exactly. I say this with love. And by the way, I do because I think I probably really like her. The blonde.
I love her.
Please tell me her name.
Jen.
Jen. You know what I saw? As I just saw somebody wanting so badly to succeed and be good. And she did listen and she did grow. But she was so funny when she had to wear the costumes and... And she went for it.
Yeah, she did.
But she struggled, you know?
And I think that I was probably more lenient with her because...
You loved her.
I love her because she raised a child. So anybody... She has an 8-year-old daughter. Anybody that has any opinions about Jen's work ethic or whether she's a good yachty...
She's a mother.
What I have to say to them is go raise a child for 8 years and then come back to me and tell me what you think of Jen.
You know what? Well said.
Yeah.
And I certainly, you know, I mean dinghy in the best possible way.
She is a dinghy. She would proudly say she's a dinghy.
And by the way, she could probably be my sister, so it's fine.
She's like, awesome.
You know what I'd be if I was on Below Deck with you? I'd be Jen. You'd be like, oh, girl.
Oh, honey.
You need to get out here and learn how to make a drink in less than 20 minutes.
Stop singing, honey.
Get with the party.
Yeah, okay. It's mojito time.
It's mojito time.
Okay.
Well, I love you, Jen.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. And for your yachty of the season?
Well, am I allowed to?
Present company excluded.
Okay. Because you're always going to win.
Thank you.
In every season.
I'll let the record show that.
Please.
Okay.
This might not be what people would imagine, but... I felt like is it Nico who lost his brother? I felt like somebody that had to come on and continue to work and had lost a sibling. You know, I think losing a parent would just, I don't know what I'll do there, but your sibling is like it's you, you know? And I felt that would be very difficult to have your head in the game. And I think he made some mistakes, but I felt for him and I just thought, you know, he's there,
mm-hmm.
doing it.
Yeah,
and lost
just
a brother.
The fact that he was there, I think you're right, should win him yachty of the season because it's not an easy job, and what he was going through is even
imagine?
Worse. No,
can you imagine?
No, I can't. And I know how upset he was about it, and the fact that he still showed up.
He still
showed up for work, you know. And I don't think he realized how much it was going to affect him while he was on the boat.
I don't think he did. And then didn't his brother come?
His other brother came to visit, who's lovely. And I love meeting the siblings and seeing a glimpse of the crew members' land life. Because it really tells you a lot more about their background, why they are the way they are, their personality. I mean, it's everything.
It's
nature and nurture.
Exactly. And that's why we like when, you know, we see the brother and sister together on there.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly and Amy. Like, I appreciated that. And I've appreciated... But I know Nico had a hard time. Anyway, that's what
I think both excellent choices. So I'm going to go ahead and say that my dinghy of the season, he's so nice. And the reason I'm choosing him is because it's also out of love.
Okay.
Chef Matt. I feel like he has the skills and the capabilities, and but he's not tapping into them.
Right.
So that's actually the biggest offense, in my opinion, rather than Bruno, who is just, you know, conceited and a diva.
Yeah. Oh, right. And learning. Well, but right. he was diva.
Yeah.
He was a diva.
So I think that Matt has potentially, it's not living up to, and that's kind of why I would give him dinghy of the week.
Makes sense.
Yep. And for yachty of the week or season, for yachty of the season, I choose, you already said Nico. Baker also.
I love her.
She is great. Fun fact, fun Bravo fact.
Please.
Thomas Ravenel, Southern Charm, that's her cousin.
Stop it right now.
Yes.
Stop it.
Isn't that fun?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I would love to be at that Christmas, that family Christmas.
Can you think Baker we can invite ourselves?
Well, actually, my brother's getting married in Charleston 3 days after Christmas, so I'll be in that neck of the woods. I guess I'm going. I just invited myself.
You're going. And
I'll bring
you're
a fruit basket.
And you're going to email me after. Not on the show, we will not discuss, but no. We will discuss, because I do watch Southern Charm, as you know.
Yeah.
But Baker, I thought, worked her butt off.
Yep.
And grew the most.
Yes. And she's, this is not like a testament to her character, but she's gorgeous in person. Like,
I thought she was gorgeous on camera.
Yes, she is.
But you mean her heart.
No, I really meant her face.
Oh, I know. Her eyes?
It's crazy. It doesn't show how beautiful she is. She's so pretty.
Yeah, she is, it's right? Like, and I got that. Who did she kind of like? Or
EJ. Canadian EJ.
I was like, why aren't the guys going after Baker?
You know, she's like sporty Jessica Rabbit.
Hello?
With a Southern accent.
I agree.
Well, thank you so much for having me over. This has been
it's not over, is it?
I feel like you're my fairy godmother.
You know, in a way. And I will be. And I always will be.
My middle name's Dorothy.
You're just going to lay that one at the end?
Yeah,
That's our connection.
There you go.
Come on now.
I know.
And okay, so in Florida, don't forget what I said. You are coming, unless you're working.
I will quit.
No, you're not going to quit.
Captain Lee would kill me. I love Bocelli so much.
Well, I'm just...
The prayer.
The prayer, stunning. We're going to sing it.
We're
going to sing it and you'll come and we'll pray for the next season.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate.
It was lovely. Thank you once again to the lovely Kristen Chenoweth for joining me on this week's After Deck. And thank you all for listening. I'll be back next Wednesday for another episode of After Deck. In the meantime, share your questions with us at After Deck Tweets on Twitter and on After Deck Insta on Instagram. I love hearing from you guys, and who knows, maybe you'll hear your questions answered on next week's episode. Don't forget to vote for your pick for Yachty and Dinghy of the Week on our Twitter poll. Make sure to subscribe to Watch What Happens Live. It just became available on the podcast arena. And tune in Tuesday nights at 9, 8 Central for a new episode of Below Deck on Bravo TV.
You are now listening to the After Deck.